Scope is filmed before a live studio audience.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that benefits mankind. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
The Scope shares some Christmas memories, two holiday albums are up for review, and Adam re-gifts everything from the last 17 years in an effort to simplify his life.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
That'll be later on today.
Whoa! This just in from Jacko's Weather Center. A record of 56 inches of snow is now on the ground.
Holy! I'll bet the kids will be all happy to know that all schools are closed today.
That's right. So get out there and enjoy that winter wonderland.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 19, show 19 of The Scope. It's the holiday spectacular, and it is absolutely exciting.
Oh yeah, it's awesome.
And it's all because of Jared's fantastic production values. Listen to this, we've got new music.
Yeah.
To really
classic music is what you got.
Yeah, it's shameless self-promotion is what it is. So we've got a studio audience today of three people. One new person, that's always very exciting for us. I'll do the introductions right away. First off, it's John. You remember him from such great shows as the Trivia Spectacular. How did you do in that, John? I have such a bad memory. I don't even remember.
Hello? I did great the first time, the first round, and then the second round, I got the worst category I could ever get. I think it was Saved by the Bell.
Do you remember the question that you went out on that you could not answer?
It was something Saved by the Bell. I lost all
in the category Saved by the Bell.
And I'm proud of that. I'm glad that I don't know anything about this.
But you will never look at Screech the same way again, correct?
No, I'll still look at him the same way.
Didn't Screech make a porn?
Yes, he did.
I think that's what the reference was, yes?
Guest number two is Earl.
Oh,
you
hey.
Love him.
How's it going, everybody?
The fourth member of the cast? I don't know, but let's ask him. Earl, are you the fourth member of the cast?
You know, some days I am, some days I'm not.
Adam says you're not.
I'm it's like Justice League. You're all members. I'm Batman. I just kind of help out.
No, like the Beatles.
You're already on the clock, brother.
The Beatles, you're like Pete Best, and John Lennon's going to punch you in the head and give you an aneurysm.
Oh, thanks, man.
There we go.
Guest Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Earl. We'll get to you in just a minute. We've got all sorts of great things to talk about. Guest number three, our first Scope virgin of the night.
Whoa.
Not counting Adam, would be...
Oh!
I'm happy that you're on the... why am I forgetting the name of the sound effect?
Thanks.
You're on it, though.
Guest number three would be Earl's lady. I won't say lady friend. It's a little more serious than that. She would be Holly. She's got red hair. She's got a scarf. She's got a menorah. Yeah. She's got a dreidel.
We're celebrating Hanukkah tonight at the Scope Show. It's pretty fun.
Hot damn.
And just Hanukkah for the record, I would have gotten all the Saved by the Bell questions right if I didn't have to work that day.
Did you listen to that show with the...
You guys re-quizzed me.
Get a little closer to that mic, young lady.
I knew every answer to every question in that category.
Adam, give her a Saved by the Bell question. You know a lot about that show. Let's just see how smart she really is.
Oh, no. I'll be on the spot.
What was the owner of the beach club that the kids all went to go work at? What
was
his
so
name?
Random. I know the actor because he was one of the Timon and Pumbaa.
Yes.
He was that guy.
That is correct, but...
Nathan Lane?
No.
The other one. Oh, God.
I'll help you out. He also played Belky and Cousin Larry's first boss in Perfect Strangers.
God, I don't know the character's name.
Mr. Sorosi.
That's right.
And
I can hear him yelling
his
Zach
daughter,
in my head.
His daughter, I believe, played by Remedy. What's her name?
Yes.
Leah Remedy.
Leah Remedy.
Yeah, that's right. Because in that season... Kelly disappeared.
Yes. She's gone. Well, now, everybody, I suppose you're wondering who hosts this show because we have so many new listeners all the time. I am Shane. I do a lot of talking. Sitting next to me is Adam.
Hey.
He does a little bit of talking, a lot of bit of angry business.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
All right.
And then there's also Jared.
Yes.
He's the third member of the program who really makes it sound great. Jared, thank you for all your hard work.
Oh, I sound great today because I'm sick again.
He's sick again.
Gentlemen. 2 weeks between shows and I managed to get better and get sick.
Jared's put a lot of work into making this show sound festive and very holiday-like. And I'm excited to hear what he has planned for us.
Points to anyone who can figure out my big inside joke this week.
Okay, well, we'll be awaiting that with bated breath. Now, it doesn't sound like it, but I'm a little grouchy today, guys. I've had another disaster with my DVR, which stands for digital recording device, or is that what it stands for?
No, digital video recorder. Digital video recorder.
I don't even know what it stands for.
Wow.
But, you know, this is kind of in the
Christmas... The letters are there. They should help you.
In the Christmas spirit, yesterday was the Christmas episode of the American version of The Office. It was a big one-hour spectacular, and looking forward to it all year, because last year's holiday special was so funny, and it was one of the best episodes. Did you guys agree?
Yes.
That was the iPod where they had the gift exchange in the office.
Last year's was great.
It was a $5 minimum or maximum, and the boss brought an iPod and gave it away and caused all sorts of trauma in the office.
Because everyone wanted the iPod.
Everybody wanted it. So this particular episode, looking forward to it, and just like many times in the past, our DVR crapped out on us. And so I end up missing the last 15 minutes of the show, which means I have to find other methods to get the show, which isn't that big of a deal nowadays, but... It's just the fact that I have to do this. And I'm angry at Time Warner, and I'm angry at Comcast for screwing me over.
Well, this was pretty funny.
Thank you for rubbing it in.
Will you make a change?
Even I watched it. I thought it was funny, too.
You didn't watch it, Earl.
Yeah, you're right.
I watched it twice. It's so good.
There's nothing animated in that show.
Oh!
Oh!
Zing.
I'm not done yet.
You got me
so
now.
So will there be any changes? Will you be looking for an alternate source of DVR goodness?
Here's the problem, Jared.
Yeah?
We record a lot of shows, so...
Yes, you do.
It's very difficult to have, like, five TiVos in the house and...
It's not,
you know,
that
VCRs.
Hard.
Well, you do it, but I don't want to... You know, I don't want to pay for more of the service.
How many do you really record?
Sometimes we record three shows at a time.
Yes, so you have three TiVos like me.
Not that we record every day three shows at a time, but there are times when you need to do that.
So you use the TiVo and then the dual tuner on the...
Exactly,
okay.
Adam. Right on the money,
well,
this
why
guy
don't you
is.
Just get one of the dual tuner TiVos?
Because then you got to buy the unit, and then you have to pay extra for the service.
Okay, that's fair.
I would like a TiVo for Christmas, please.
You are paying for a DVR service, by the way.
Yeah, but it's not.
It's less.
It's less.
Okay.
So I don't know what we're going to do. Probably just call and complain and then get yelled at by Comcast because they're douchebags.
You don't pay for the unit anymore, though, for the TiVo. If you sign like a 2-year contract, you
okay,
get, like you know that deal.
Well, I'll dial up Carrie, and you can try to convince her. See what she says. What do you think of that? And but the thing is, we also like the digital cable box. So
yeah, no, there is that.
It's very pretty where you have it.
It's got lights and
very good.
Yeah, it works as a clock.
Anybody else here have a DVR besides Jared and myself that they use?
I do. You know that.
Adam does.
Maybe you meant on the couch.
Yeah. On the couch, guys.
I have a reel-to-reel tape recorder.
Oh, awesome. How's that?
I got this thing called a VCR, and it always catches the last 15 minutes of shows.
Wow. Earl, coming after me.
I know. Why?
Earl, have you ever considered getting a TiVo or some other brand of DVR?
Yeah. I've always been at a theory. If I need a TiVo, I'm watching too much television.
Really?
That's just me.
I don't you watch too much anyway. So do I.
I watch movies. I use my television to like watch movies.
You can
what's the difference between
too?
Watching a movie and watching television on TV? Is there a difference? Let's go around the room. Jared.
You're still watching.
You're still watching.
I think, actually, if you're going to have like a TiVo, you're actually going to watch shows that you want to watch instead of just... mindlessly watching whatever channel's on.
Exactly. Jared gets a point.
Thank you.
Yeah. And we don't even need to go around the room because Jared pretty much said it.
That was the right answer.
He got it right away. So, Earl, I'm glad you're here because I have a little bit of something I want to go over with you.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, everybody knows that I'm a man about town and, you know, I'd like to surf the internet and I check things out and I like to see what my friends write on their live journals and their blogs. And Earl's one of my favorite targets for that because he's always got something great to say. And one of his most recent posts was about a brand new movie based on one of his favorite cartoons.
Uh-oh.
Called cartoons. Underdog.
Oh, yeah, Underdog, yeah.
And so Earl posted the new movie poster, correct?
Yeah.
And you posted...
A picture of him flying.
And then within this post, you proceed to talk about how you like the voice cast, right? Do you think it's
a good... I can't think of a better cast.
You're not sold on the script.
No, because the script sounded terrible.
But you seem to like this better than the Transformers.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm not done.
Oh, finish. I'm
so
sorry.
So this is my question, Mr. L. Why does Underdog get a pass and Transformers doesn't when you haven't seen either? Please, go ahead.
You totally
nailed
it.
Do I do it while the drums are running or should I wait?
No, you talk whatever you want.
One, it's the simple fact of this. Underdog costume looks like Underdog's costume. Optimus Prime looks like a Bionicle.
They are hot these days, though, for what it
Very
is.
Hot.
But yeah, they make a damn Bionicle.
But here's
movie.
The thing, Earl. I got an.
No,
you
even said it yourself. They shouldn't even call it Transformers. You told me they should call it robots that turn into cars.
I'm getting back to Underdog because I'm.
What about
you know,
Underdog?
Here's the thing. I think that it looks terrible. I mean,
why
it's
do
a,
you think it looks
it's
terrible?
It's a dog in a shirt with a cape.
That's Underdog.
Capes are back,
but
though.
But it's a real dog. It doesn't look anything like Underdog. The dog doesn't look anything like Underdog.
Where's my fight music?
I've never heard Shane get so angry
Star
about
Trek.
I mean, come on, Earl. Step up to the plate.
No, here's what I'm saying. It's sad that we live in a world. I mean, they couldn't even get the Superman costume right.
But we're not talking about Superman. We're
I'm
talking about
they got the Underdog
Benji in a cape.
I was sitting when I first heard the script. I was just like, "They're not going to be it. There's not going to be a costume. There's not going to be anything." Because the script, just to get everybody on the same page, said it's about a boy who has a dog named Shoeshine, and his dad's a scientist, and some chemicals spill on him, and he gets powers. And
I'm sorry, that's my fan fiction of Underdog.
You're a fan fiction.
You're erotic fan fiction.
I do, yes.
Dude, I gotta go.
Okay.
No, but no, I was actually impressed that they actually had the red and the blue and the U. The movie's still going to blow, but...
I mean, the dog's mouth is going to be animated, or you're just going to have a picture of a dog sitting there, and then there's going to be, like, Jason Lee talking over...
No, there should be peanut
which
butter.
Which Jason Lee, to me, doesn't just... Yeah, peanut. It's like Mr. Ed.
It'll be CGI, Mr. Ed. It'll be the CGI mouth like that.
My name is Underdog.
Fear.
Yeah. And, come
it'll
on.
Be like that. It'll be like the dog on that
be like Randy
commercial.
We got to save some people.
I don't think that Jason Lee sounds anything like Underdog. What do you think of that?
Well, one would assume he would affect some sort of voice.
I would say that if you're going to do that movie, you need to get someone who sounds exactly like the Underdog cartoon.
Well, the guy that plays him is dead.
Have you ever heard Jason Lee do a voice?
Yeah, that's true.
Yes,
yeah,
I heard him in The Incredibles, and he sounded like Jason Lee going, "Ah, Jason Lee."
That's what I mean.
Yeah, he doesn't sound anything like except Jason Lee.
But I mean,
Lee.
I took a look at the other casting. Peter Dinklage or Simon Bar Sinister is beautiful.
Who's that?
He's the, what was that?
Explain yourself.
Elf. You remember Elf?
Who? What?
Elf?
Elf, yeah. With,
the holiday movie?
Oh. Yes, the holiday movie Elf.
Alien Life Form.
Remember the,
hey, Willie.
I'll just come out and say, the really midget good. Writer that showed up, that's Peter Dinklage. He's the little midget writer that showed up. And
oh, yeah.
He's playing Simon Bar Sinister, and Patrick Warburton playing his sidekick, Cat. And it's like, wow, that's perfect casting right there.
Why don't they do the movie like they did Rocky and Bullwinkle, where they had real animated characters running around in
the
world.
Goofy. The way Jay Ward designed these creatures, cartoons were so two-dimensional that they just don't look right three-dimensional.
Why even do an Underdog movie live action?
I agree with that point. Why bother doing it? But
they're doing it, and you're on board.
Apparently. Why ask why?
Why ask why?
To defend,
Hollywood, it's a never-ending
to
battle.
Defend Earl, it didn't sound like he was on board at all, actually.
Earl, yeah, thank you, Adam.
Earl, they're teaming up against me.
I was just more pointing
this
out that
is absolutely
it's,
not gay.
Yes,
I will also disagree with Earl, and I will say that Transformers, I think, is going to be fine.
Oh yeah,
I disagree with that one.
I know.
We'll save that debate for another show, which
I mean,
we will
come up.
I mean, Michael Bay put out a statement today, and it was just like I felt.
Did he put it out about Underdog?
No, he put
then
it out.
Then shut your yapper, boy,
okay.
Because we're talking about Underdog. By the way, Earl did put on his website to go back to Transformers real quickly that Steven Spielberg. Is Steven I Rape Transformers Spielberg. Which is interesting because Steven Spielberg, I think, is only the executive producer, and I don't think he really has that much to do with it.
I got the Transformers, the animated movie, and there's a little clip on him. He goes, oh, I've always loved Transformers.
It's a publicity piece.
But he said it wrong. He was like, Transform...
Transformers.
He actually said, I always love GoBots, and they edited in Transformers.
I just say
please, Jared, bring this to a close.
Ma and Pa Spielberg had tremendous foresight in naming their child Steven I Rape Transformers.
Yeah, they knew it. They absolutely knew
they
it.
They knew. They were visionaries.
They absolutely
and that's
were.
Another toy that needed to come to the big screen.
Yeah. Why not Centurions while we're at it?
They were more than
I love Centurions.
Oh, here we go. It's chaos. Earl, I would love to sit and talk Jason the Wheeled Warriors with you all night long, but we've got a holiday show to attend to.
Hell
I didn't
yeah.
How much like Jace you look like.
Pardon me?
You look like Jace. If you grew your hair out, you could be Jace.
You put like a white streak down though.
There we go, everybody.
Get the little necklace.
Wear some
obscure
some
80s cartoon
and
toy
tunic.
Reference of the day. Guys, this is what's happening in the show.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking a little bit about our favorite Christmas memories. And holiday memories, because we have some of the some other religions in the room, and we've got to make
Shane.
Sure. Earl will be covering Kwanzaa.
No, there's only one religion.
Hallelujah.
One religion.
We'll be saying, talking about if Christmas is the greatest holiday or just a great holiday.
Will Adam and Holly have a Jew off?
Wow. I don't know what that means, but I hope it doesn't involve a dreidel.
Whoa.
It's called Jew craps.
Jew craps.
Oh.
What else are we going to talk about, Jared?
I don't know.
Holiday movies. What's our favorite holiday movie?
I just run the board here. You're the man with the plan.
And we're also going to cover our favorite holiday gifts, Christmas or otherwise.
We've covered some holiday songs.
Yeah, we've got great stuff. So we're going to do that, and we're going to have a plentiful amount of jingle bells today. You just don't have a button for that, but no.
We've actually used our allotment of jingle bells today. Sorry.
Jingle.
We've also got unfinished business from last show. We've got a random review of the television sitcom The Class. You'll find out if the three of us loved it or hated it. And to keep in the holiday spirit, we're going to be reviewing holiday albums from the 80s greats, Billy Idol and Twisted Sister. And as always, we'll be checking what's coming soon, which isn't that much because everything's out now, but we'll cover the list anyway.
Hell yeah.
So this is the Scope Show 19 Holiday Edition. Buckle up, kids. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
This is Billy Idol. I want to wish you a happy holiday and a very merry new year.
I really, really, really would like for you to come over and take off this stupid, firewall so that I can start seeing the pictures that come in on my email. You know, like, I can't even go in and look at my coupon that I could get from Foot Locker, and it's like 30 plus 10, and I can't even look at it, and it won't even let me go there. So how am I supposed to get any of my Christmas shopping done if I can't go in and view things? And then I owe... I'm supposed to buy her an SD630 because, of course, it became missing when I was there and I touched it last and everything. But I can't even shop for one of those when I'm blocked out of everything. Would you please come over here and take all that off my computer so I can get my stuff done? I appreciate it. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
Broadcasting from high atop the IDS. It's the Scope.
It's Christmas time, it's Christmas time. Yippee-yay, it's Christmas time. I'm not sick, I'm feeling fine. What you talking about? It's Christmas time. String up the lights and put up the tree. Nobody loves it as much as me. Gotta get together with my family, and everyone's happy and Christmassy. Gotta do a dance, cause I'm happy as punch. Mystery gifts, well, I've got a hunch. Meats and cheeses for an early lunch. Santa can have him for his lunch. It's Christmas time, it's Christmas time. I'm so happy it's Christmas time. Get a lump of coal, hey, not this time. Everyone knows it's Christmas time.
Hey everybody, it's the Scope Holiday Spectacular.
Oh yeah.
That's a blast from the past from the Nick Adams.
Yeah.
Johnny Boy sitting here to my left is singing it. Come on, John, a little bit live version. Go ahead, sing with. Go ahead.
Yippee-yay, it's Christmas time. Get a lump of coal.
Oops. I don't even know my own damn song.
Christmas time.
Oh, sorry.
So keep going, Earl.
Christmas time.
We could talk. I know. I think they were going to do these specialty songs for every show. So you guys start thinking. You know, I don't know what comes in between Christmas and Easter.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the Nick Adams, right here on your number one spot for holiday music, The Scope.
Holy crap, the Nick
Thanks,
Adams.
Morgan Freeman.
Nick Adams.
Yeah. Ever since I was a child, people have loved the sound of my voice.
How would Mark Summers say that, Earl?
I got to watch it again. I got to come over. I told Mark Summers has left my head.
Oh, jeez.
You do it.
I'll do it a little bit later, because I've been watching a lot of Unwrapped lately.
No, perhaps we should get on with the show.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Jared, thanks for keeping us on track. This week, everybody, I'm proud to introduce... The first annual, hopefully many, to come after this, Scope Holiday Spectacular / Roundup. Just a minute, we're going to delve deep into all things winter holidays, Christmas, Chanukah, Kwanzaa, and anything else we can think of. And I know it's Hanukkah, give me a break.
I love it when you read copy.
Thank you.
Don't forget Ramadan.
Okay, I'm going to try to read this like it isn't.
Ramadan, it was in November, you fool.
Best of us.
It's ramen with a D.
I'm going to read this, gentlemen, like it's not written.
Fantastic.
Do you want to hear the craziest holiday tales from your Scope hosts and Scope guests?
Yes.
It's on the way.
Awesome.
What are the best gifts we've ever received? You'll find out soon. And what is the best holiday movie ever? We're going to tell you our picks, and I guarantee we won't all agree. A Christmas bloodbath, ladies and gentlemen, is on the way.
That's my favorite, by the way.
A Christmas bloodbath?
Bloodbath. That was a good one.
You actually saw that?
It really is a movie.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
I don't know. So let's open this up to everyone. First topic.
Yeah.
Do you have like a ding button? First topic. Crazy Christmas or holiday stories. Let's go around the room. Someone has to have something. I think we're going to start with John. Go.
Okay. 1983.
He's got the year.
Or 84.
Wow, impressive.
In a world where the year was 1983.
In a world where the year.
Okay, I'm sipping on some eggnog right now to get in the festive Christmas spirit.
Very nice.
I look like Marlock.
Nagasaki.
I'm nogged out.
Getting your nog on.
Get my nog on.
Are you polishing your nog?
Okay, 1983.
Yeah.
I got a Stomper 4x4.
Stomper.
Oh.
You remember those?
For people that don't know, they are small battery-operated 4x4s, probably about twice as big as a Matchbox car. And
exactly.
They can drive over all sorts of things like
not remote
pieces
control,
of foam.
Though?
Nope, you just hit a button underneath, you turn it on, and it would just go.
But they had the rubber wheels. Mm-hmm. They had the little things on them, so they had traction.
Earl, can you sing the theme song?
I'm sorry?
Can you sing the Stomper theme song?
Oh, God, how'd it go?
Stomper, 4x4.
No.
Coming at you down.
Oh, I used to know it. I sang it. I went back in the Nick Adam day. It was
moving on.
I forgot it.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'll remember it.
So anyway,
I
was really excited.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how to contain my joy, so I turned it on. I put the battery in. I turned it on. And I looked at my little sister, who was about 7 years younger than me. I was about 12, 13. So she was about, you know, 7 or whatever. And I decided to roll the Stomper on her hair.
Bad move, Neil.
And she had,
I know where this is going.
She had
I did the same thing to my sister.
Yep. She had long hair. And right away, you know, she's like, okay. Woo. And then I, you know, ran it over to the top of her head. All of a sudden,
oh, no.
So it mangled.
Stompers, 4x4s, with hair swallowing action.
All right, great.
Exactly. So it mangled all her hair into the gears of the Stomper. My dad's like, what the hell are you doing? And this was like early when we were opening all our presents. So it's like Christmas was ruined instantly.
Yeah.
And so they had to. My
Not
mom,
even in television could save this.
Yep. So my mom had to cut her hair off.
Oh, no.
To get the Stomper out because it was grinded up.
It didn't have a reverse then, I take it.
No. No, man.
It was running like
one AA battery. Amazing amount of torque. It didn't stop. Yeah. I'll bring it in on the next show. I still have one, I think.
That would make great radio. Yeah.
So my poor.
I saw the Stomper going.
Listen to it.
Let's put it in Shane's hair.
No.
Doesn't it sound unstoppable?
Yep.
They dropped those pencils in front of it, and it said, screw this. They're just pencils. Who are you? I'm a Stomper.
Okay.
So your parents threw you outside into the snow, and that's why you have 8 fingers.
Exactly.
Hypothermia.
Yep.
So you walk with a limp.
So, yeah, Christmas was ruined in 1983, and my sister had to have a, you know, Wendy O. Williams haircut, and that was about it.
Now, the serious question is, have you healed the rift with your sister?
Oh, yeah.
20-something years later, everything's okay?
We're cool.
Fantastic.
You ever break out the Stompers just for fun?
Just to taunt her?
Yeah.
She runs.
Very nice. Anyone else have any stories? Earl, come on.
No, my Christmas is pretty good. The one thing that always reoccurred on Christmas is I'm named after my dad. Both named Earl, in case you didn't figure that out. And
wow, that's interesting.
I thought he was Joel.
What the deal would be, what always happened is, what, you know, he'd get a present of mine, I'd get a present of his, and he'd open it up and he'd go, what the hell am I going to do with a transformer? Mm-hmm. And he goes, I think this is yours. And I'd be opening it up and I'm like, pants? Great. Thanks. And then another time, I was a sneaky kid. What I'd do is I'd get up before everybody else and I'd open the present and try to wrap them back up.
How well did that work?
It didn't work well. But one time, though, I just remembered it. I got a, I don't know what you call it, like a construction helmet, but it had a siren on top of it.
Oh.
And so, and I was just like, kick ass, you know? And so I wrapped it back up. There were batteries in the stocking, so I was all ready. And my parents and my sister, nobody would get up. And it was like getting to be about 11. And I'm like,
it was getting to be 5 a.m.
I'm 8 years old, and I'm going nuts. So I
eight
opened
or
up the
18,
helmet.
Earl.
Strangely, it happened both times.
I could
times.
Totally see Earl doing that at 18.
It happened.
Come on, get up, everybody.
It happened twice.
I just
10
turned the helmet
apart.
On and I ran through the house. And
that's how you got him up, huh?
Yeah, and that's how I got him up. My dad proceeded to beat me.
Yep. And he put you outside, and that's why you only have 8 fingers and you walk with
no,
the
No, that's
limp
how I lost
day.
My hearing.
Wow, he knocked the hearing right out of your head.
That's terrible.
The truth comes out.
At least we know now.
Yep. The true story. It's been many years in the making. Adam, Jared, anything to share?
I don't have fond memories of childhood Christmas because growing up we were Jehovah's Witnesses and we didn't celebrate Christmas.
I wish you'd have some sad music because we could play some sad music for you.
I really don't.
Cue violin.
Witnesses is because they get to witness everybody else do stuff.
So I spent most of my childhood manufacturing lists of gifts that I supposedly had gotten just so I would fit in at school.
God, this is depressing now.
What was the best fake list of things you ever had?
Oh, I don't know. I think 1 year, and this was going probably closer to my teen years, but for some reason, I think I got a Stevie Wonder cassette or something. I don't know what. I don't know. That's the only thing that I can remember specifically.
Those Jehovah's Witnesses really warped your mind.
Yeah.
What do I get? What do I get? Stevie Wonder, Woman in Red soundtrack. What do I?
Jared's in his bedroom going, there is superstition.
No, this would be much later. This would be more like I just called to say I love you, that era.
Well, Jared.
But,
okay.
But eventually, I think about my teen years, seventh grade, I think we started, you know, doing what everyone else
you
does.
You threw off the shackles.
We started participating in the consumerism that is modern Christmas. And we started getting gifts. And one thing I asked for was the Cobra Night Raven, the super plane that was styled after the SR-71. That thing was awesome. That might have been a little old, but guess what? Christmas was due to me. I'm getting some damn toys.
You got
to
make up for lost time.
I think we should start a toy drive for Jared.
No, that's okay. I got plenty of toys after that. And by then, I had a paper out and could buy my own damn toys.
Very nice.
Well, you still want the Pulsar? I can get you a Pulsar.
I was never interested in Pulsar.
They're brokering deals here right during the show. Now, Earl, you were talking about how you snuck up on Christmas morning and were opening presents. Now, did any of you guys ever like try to find gifts beforehand? Because that's my Christmas horror story.
I didn't because we didn't have Christmas, Shane.
Jeez, Jared, do we have to? I would probably say this was, you know, early to mid 80s, back in the heyday of toys for me, and I would be just like a bloodhound looking for these toys. You know, every place that my mom would hide stuff, I would be all over it. And 1 year, she caught me finding that stuff, and it was probably
I thought you were going to say masturbating.
You wish.
That would have been better.
Wow. Yeah, it was probably about 2 weeks before Christmas, so needless to say, I had the threat hanging over my head the entire time. You're not getting any presents. Do you care about Christmas? Do you care about me? You know, that sort of thing.
The guilt trip thing.
Oh, and a lot of those presents were the Santa presents, so, you know, they're hidden at the same time. What's going to happen?
How long did your family perpetuate the myth of Santa Claus? Was it well past the age of where you would have known the truth?
Well, you know, knowing
that Santa Claus died,
knowing that I'm a super sleuth, I can. This is a good story. Like, I can remember the exact moment when the existence of Santa Claus was cast in doubt for me.
Right.
It was probably 1979, 1980. Make me six, somewhere in there. And 1 year for Christmas from Santa Claus, my big gift was the Star Wars Millennium Falcon. Which was gigantic, and I couldn't believe that Santa could bring me a gift that fantastic and great and huge. I mean,
he is magical, Shane.
Yeah, you are five. You're 5 years old, and this thing you could practically get into it. That's how big it is.
Hell yeah!
But
yeah.
So you,
Earl could get in there.
Earl does fit. Actually, that's what he drives to work.
I like to hide in the secret compartment.
So I open this gift. I open up the box and pull out the Millennium Falcon. But I notice on the side of the box there's a Target price sticker. So immediately I'm wondering,
Did I just shop at Target?
Yeah, why does Santa shop at Target? So I went to my mom and said, Mom, why is there a Target gift or Target price tag on my Millennium Falcon gift? And she said, Oh well. Sometimes Santa can't make everything. He has to shop sometimes.
He has to outsource.
Oh, my dad got that one beat.
So how does Santa pay for it? Oh, he has gold pieces. And even at six, I knew that Santa probably didn't use gold as a modern currency.
See, my dad beat you on
and
that.
And even if he did, Target wouldn't accept it.
Yep. So
my dad said, I had that whole story happen to me. I said, Hey, how come there's a price tag on here? He goes, Well, you got good at the last minute, so we had to go to the store.
I'm going to remember that
Santa
one.
Santa was unprepared.
And it's like, he does this all the time. That's why.
You pull it out in the end.
Yeah, see, but I mean, I didn't.
December 22nd, Santa's checking his list. Earl, no, he's still naughty, not getting anything.
All of a sudden, it's like, look, I helped an old lady across the street. All right.
Damn it.
You get a match, you get a stomper.
You get a stomper.
That's it. And you put it in somebody's hair, and it's bedlam.
Yeah. Spoiling next year's Christmas.
Now, I have a hunch that even our Jewish friends in the studio here got gifts for their fantastic call. And I keep saying fantastic.
Shane, I think calling them friends is going
well. Holly's okay. A new Jew.
Yeah, she's a new Jew.
Oh, no.
We don't. I just Jew found review? Out that you were a converted Jew, Holly.
How does that compare to New Coke?
I'm a Messianic Jew, so it's kind of
Messianic Jew?
Messianic.
What are you made out of, some sort of rock? Is that?
No. We put her in the tumbler.
Not quite. It's a Jews for Jesus kind of thing.
Okay. So did you celebrate Christmas growing up?
Oh, yeah. My family's Christian. We celebrated Christmas my whole life. I still celebrate Christmas, but
so you you became Jewish to celebrate two fantastic
You did it for
holidays.
More presents.
Yeah.
there's not supposed to be any presents for Hanukkah, or they're just doing that to keep up.
Okay, I did not know that. We're learning something. So, everybody, ooh, let's go around the room. I'll start with you all. The best gift you've ever gotten during the holiday season.
I'll go first since I didn't have a
Hanukkah. Okay, Adam goes first.
By the way, my only story would be every year explaining what Hanukkah is to everyone.
Yeah, no kidding.
And you'll be doing that in a minute.
Right. And they're always amazed that you get a gift a night for 8 nights. And it's like, it's not really that good, especially like when my mom had no money. So it's like when one night is gelt, you're like,
all right. One night is gelt.
One night's a can of tomato soup.
Right. One night you actually get to eat. So you're like, oh, awesome.
One night your pencil gets sharpened so you can use it again.
Yeah. So
you get the blanket.
My best gift was I got a Nintendo Entertainment System.
Excellent.
The second year it was around. So it was, I think, 87. Then.
That's humongous.
Yes. And I got.
Yeah, but the year after it's not as cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was still like the first kid in my neighborhood to get it. So. Mike Tyson's Punch Out. So this was the control deck, entertainment deck, whichever. The one that had the zapper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the.
Did it have the robot in that?
No, I did not get the robot.
No robot.
Robot.
The robot that one game was made for.
Gyromite. Yes. Gyromite was always much more fun when someone human was controlling the second controller.
Isn't that amazing? So I got Mike Tyson Punch-Out and Legend of Zelda, and I instantly became the most popular kid on my block, and even the kids like in sixth grade would hang out at my house.
Do you ever break it out, those games in that system, when you're trying to make new friends so you can be popular?
No. But
John Mapes, second person you battle in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. You know the first. Who's the second?
That was one of the questions, wasn't it?
The first was.
The first was Glass Joe. Give you that. The second was who?
It's not baseball great.
Give him that 10-second countdown, Jared.
He knows.
10 seconds.
I think I know.
See, I know the nationality of him, but I forget his name, too.
He was Mexican.
No.
No.
He was Cuban. No.
He was not Hispanic at all.
I'm going to take a wild shot in the dark.
Please, take it.
Soda Popinski.
No, that's way later. It's
Who was it? It's
the German guy, but I can't remember his name.
Hans Blitz?
No.
No.
Hans Brecht. No, Hans Brecht.
Wait, so you don't know either?
I don't know. I just figured he would know.
Piston Honda was the first boss.
We will give a terrific shout out to our first Scope listener that sends in the correct answer. That's all you get because we have no budget.
On Monday.
Holly, best holiday gift. Talk.
Well, we were kind of broke growing up,
yep.
So I didn't get a lot of big things, but I did love when my rich friends got a Nintendo. That was fun. And then living at their house and playing their Nintendo. I remember getting, the one thing I remember asking for was fashion plates. I don't know, in a room full of boys.
Oh, yes, fashion
that
plates.
And that way you combine like three of them to make a special.
And then
outfit.
You like
do the
crayon over the top. And then
you do the mm-hmm. And then you could color them.
Man, you say crayon and robot. What's wrong with
that's
you?
That's because he's 500 years old.
How do you say coupon? Is it coupon or coupon with you?
Say pants.
Pants.
All right, do that one.
Say washing.
He actually
machine.
Says trousers usually.
Washing McKine?
He doesn't use the word.
McKine.
McKine.
Jared, your best gift was
wait,
the...
Wait. I got a trivia question.
Okay. About fashion plates?
Yes.
Oh, great.
What was the male equivalent of
stop
fashion
stop everything.
Plates?
Yes, there was. Robot plates. No, it was like a monster maker, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was.
Mighty Men and Monster Makers.
There you go.
And
thank
it was
you.
Cooler than fashion plates.
That's why I get laid all the time, ladies. Jared, your favorite gift was that Cobra.
We're going to go with that for the sake of moving the show along. Yes.
Okay, we're doing fine on time.
I got a gift.
Yes, John.
My favorite gift was 1985.
The year 1985?
You got the year.
No, the entire year.
I knew something was wrong.
In the palm of my hand.
The year Falco broke out. That was the gift to me.
Thank you, John.
Rob Amadeus. No, okay. So, I asked for, because my parents weren't, super rich, so all I asked for...
I'm seeing a theme for all of us here.
Yeah. Exactly.
Except Earl, Mr. Rich.
White trash. So, we got... all I asked for was Jabba's playset, right? Mm-hmm. So... and I also, I was like, oh, the Ewok Village, came out at the same time. So it's like, oh, I'd love the Ewok, but I want Jabba's Palace because, it's smaller. So I asked for Jabba's Palace. And then my mom used really cheap wrapping paper. So you could actually, if you pushed on it.
Really? It's like oiled paper.
No, she used wax paper.
I'm going to wrap this with wax.
No, why is she using saran wrap? It doesn't make sense. It's a terrible wrapping paper.
Come on, mom. That's what happens when you have a blind mom. She just grabs it.
If you pushed on it.
I'll just wrap this in a dish towel.
My birthday present.
I can trust him. He'll never open it.
Yep. Please,
and it
John.
Was a bag of dust.
My
I loved it.
Angel.
A bag of dust.
So the paper, if you pushed it against the box,
yeah.
You could read the type, on there. So I found out it was a Jabba's playset, and I was like, oh, yeah. I was all excited. She brought, you know, like the day before Christmas Eve, she put it out there. So I'm, you know, sleeping, thinking of Jabba's playset, you know, oh, skulls and, you know,
see, I would have rather
fat blobby guy. Oh, yeah. I can't. I'm so excited.
I would have rather gotten Abba's playset.
Oh,
go on.
Okay.
Crickets. Moving the show along, Jared.
So that's my traditional one joke at a show that just grinds everything to a halt.
So I go to bed and I wake up in the morning all ready for my Jabba's playset. And I go down and there's another big box sitting there.
Uh-oh.
I was like, oh, what's this?
It's Abba's playset.
It was Abba's playset.
It was Abba's playset.
I'm a dancing queen.
Oh. Mamma Mia, you said.
Oh, my God. No, so it was the Ewok Village. And so I got Jabba's Palace and Ewok Village on the same Christmas.
You. Wow.
And I threw all my Ewoks out and used G.I. Joe's as like a base for the Ewok Village. There, but that was about it. But it was like the coolest thing because, you know, I didn't think my parents could afford having, you know, more
and then
presents.
You found out they were holding out on you the whole time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They live in a
cheap
gold house
bastards.
Right now.
Well, they do now that I'm gone. Yeah. So
there you go.
Earl?
Yeah.
Best gift ever. You've got a lot of them, so spill it.
Yeah, wow. You make it sound like I just got billion things. I never got stuff throughout
Earl
the year.
Earl doesn't walk into the studio. He floats in his personal hovercraft.
I do.
G.I. Joe hovercraft.
I got a jetpack.
Wow.
Jet pants?
I never got stuff throughout the year. I always got stuff on my birthday and Christmas. Those were like that. They just saved it all up and just did it there. But the one thing I do remember.
But they were
was,
doing a Christmas show.
Yes. Exactly.
Continue.
Thank you.
Owls in the studio.
I got the 12-inch Boba Fett back in 1980.
That's what she said.
Yes. But, I mean, it had the whole little eye thing just like Steve Austin figure. And I got $6 million man, but the Boba
Earl
Fett,
got the
I remember
Boba
that.
Fett.
Because everybody else got a Stormtrooper or a Chewbacca. Nobody liked that. But I got Boba Fett.
Hells yeah.
Very nice.
And now you hate Boba Fett.
Yeah.
No, I hate.
Isn't it ironic?
I like Boba Fett. I just hate George Lucas did to him.
No comments.
I have a question.
Please.
How does everyone here deal with people that have like Christmas birthdays? What do? Do you get?
Oh, we got one. Put the mic up for that
one,
girl.
You have one right here, December 22nd, and it sucks balls. I'll tell you that right now.
Sucks balls.
Don't you mean balls?
Is that like a request for the party or something?
I remember some of John's nog.
Wow.
You know,
ooh.
That was nog, right?
Not doing any better.
Okay, edit that out.
Speaking
okay.
of balls.
It sucks a lot. And you get combination presents that are sometimes good, but most times aren't.
Do they at least bump up the value?
Like, sometimes just something big? They did, but sometimes they were just like, oh, sorry, here you go.
Well, I just want
to—I
want to tell you that I was talking to Earl about that situation for you, and he said that he believes that his love for you will be gift enough for your birthday. So,
wow!
Way to go, Earl!
I got a Christmas present. So
he's wrong.
Oh,
my love is enough for everyone in this room.
So wait, so
thanks,
now,
Earl.
Now you get birthday, Hanukkah, and Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
All in like one great week.
How do you? Wow. What do you do for the rest of the year?
You're multi-giftical.
Nothing. She
you make up other holidays?
She has half birthday. My best gift, John mentioned it earlier, was the G.I. Joe hovercraft. By far, that was the best gift I ever got. And at the time, I was old enough where I could actually put it together myself and put all the stickers on. So it literally was like an all-day process. So
big, bold adventure.
I got it. I went down in the basement, and I just said, leave me alone. I must put this together.
I will be hovering for the rest
and
of the day.
And it was it's one of the coolest toys ever. And
did it hover?
It had like little wheels underneath that were on springs.
Okay. Yeah. What year did you get this?
Probably 85, 86, somewhere in there.
I was six.
It was fairly early in the G.I. Joe, probably the third line of G.I. wave of G.I. Joe. So that
when they were still somewhat military based.
Exactly. So I want to get to the movies real quick, but I want to throw this around the room real fast. For the people that had Christmas trees, did all presents go out like Christmas morning, Christmas Eve, or did you have some under and then more came out like Santa came?
I had Christmas tree, by the way, because my stepdad Catholic. We had the gifts out. We'd put them out the day like Eve, Christmas.
Okay,
Eve.
So you always had an empty tree up until right before you were going to open them.
But we always had like cats and stuff. So I think it was just in an attempt to make sure that they weren't scratching the gifts and stuff.
John.
We had, about a few weeks before, there was presents that built up. Mm-hmm. It kind of gradual built up.
Like
and
a
then
pile. Yep.
Yep. And then,
like they're mating.
Wait, how does that work? Like, how do you explain Santa Claus if they're slowly building up?
Well, you'd wait till, you know, depending on Christmas morning, and then there'd be more presents there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I was 15, and Christmas morning, all of a sudden there was a guitar there. A cheap-ass guitar from Target that had a little built-in amplifier on it, and it was called the Terminator.
Oh, my God. Wait, another try. I got the Superstar 3000. That was like the coolest guitar ever.
Superstar 3000?
There he is. The Terminator. He's coming to get me.
So, Earl, what did you guys do with your family?
Basically, the family presents were there until Christmas Eve. Before we went to bed, we all got to open one present.
And that's where you open your dad's pants.
Yep.
Whoa.
Nice callback.
Oh, you've been waiting all day for that one, haven't you?
No, it was just a callback from earlier.
I bring it back.
Yeah. And then Christmas morning, there's like twice the presents. So.
They just expanded.
And the stockings were full.
Yep, stockings.
And they were hung by the chimney with care.
By the way,
this Christmas is the first Christmas that I've ever celebrated that will include me having a stocking. So I'm really kind of excited about that.
Is your name on it?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm a last month addition to the festivities. So
his lady friend's family is including him.
Yes.
Yeah, very exciting.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
welcome to the fold.
Welcome to the club.
Thank you.
Welcome to the club.
There's a club. Woo!
So has everybody shared their Christmas, any Christmas tree, anybody else? We did the... You know, presents solely building, and then the Santa Claus presents. So, Jared, I mean, it was late in the game for you guys, so Santa didn't really even exist for anybody. Yeah.
I can tell all them an afterthought, so we just move on.
No. I don't have to feel bad.
No, I mean, once we finally joined the rest of the world and we're doing the whole Christmas thing, my sister was still young enough that the concept of Santa could be introduced. So we did it Christmas Eve because we always went to Grandma's house or something on Christmas Day. So there was always the gifts that we were giving to each other because my brother and I would have had money at that point. And for some time, at Christmas Eve, at some point in the evening, we went off and looked at lights, came back maybe an hour later, and gift explosion. Santa had come. My dad even went to the trouble at one point of making like sleigh tracks in the snow up front.
Now that's
holy cow.
And my sister was like, "Oh, Santa was here!"
That is a class awesome. Act right there.
So
hey,
yeah.
Do anybody remember growing up watching? I think it was WCCO, and the weather guy would say, "Oh, there's something on the radar."
Yeah, they still do it now. It's done with a three-dimensional rendered graphics.
Well,
so
I
hate it.
I got a question.
No, it was Dave Moore. Dave Moore did that.
Please, Earl. Doppler radar. Since I'm the host of the show, ask me a question.
I got a question. So now that you are a father.
Yes.
Are you going to ruin Christmas for your daughter, or are you going to do the Santa Claus thing?
What do you mean by ruin it?
Are you just going to
throw the presents
Santa
at her
Claus
as we wrap them?
No, you know, there's some
Christmas
people
is
like,
a farce.
Santa.
Wrap them in ceramic.
Gonna,
I could have bought
go
many
the
more
Santa
for myself.
Claus thing, or are you just going
to
be...
Oh, she's totally going to be into the Santa Claus thing. We're not ruining that for her. She's still a little too young right now to appreciate what Christmas is. I mean, she's more interested in the bows on the package and going and kind of touching them gently and the ornaments on the tree. But
and balloons, as we heard
and
in the last episode.
She loves balloons. But I think next year, when we do this show, I'll tell you all about the mind games we play with her and completely mess her world up.
Just like Foreigner.
Exactly. Best holiday movie. That's the last part of our holiday spectacular.
You didn't even get to the crazy holiday stories. You just talked about gifts.
No, I thought that the first crazy holiday story. Jared.
Jeez. I spent a little time trying to think about it.
Okay, give us a crazy holiday
story. All right, so there was one holiday, this I don't even know the year, but we were coming back from Grandpa's house.
I'd like to point out real quick that it's just like elementary school all over again for Jared, and he's being left out.
So anyway, we're traveling back Christmas night. And we need to pull over and get gas in the car, right? So we pull up to the pump. My dad gets out, starts pumping gas. All of a sudden, smoke is pouring into the passenger compartment. The car is on fire.
Really?
The car is on fire. The engine compartment is on fire. There are flames.
Oh, Santa Claus.
We get out.
I'd like a fire.
Fire department comes. It has to put out the car.
Really?
Luckily, all the gifts were in the trunk and everything was okay.
No smoke damage?
The car was done. It was toast. The engine was completely
so you had
shot.
To walk home?
Well, no. I mean, we arranged transportation.
Okay, that's good.
Was it a sleigh?
Not a
sleigh. Did Santa come and pick you up?
That's okay. My story's done because everyone's like going to mock me now.
No, we like
no
it.
We're not mocking. I don't
know. It was the story was about fire, not about Santa magically coming and saving us from the sitcom.
Okay, first of all, it's always about Santa.
Right. Haven't you seen any of the movies?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Were you freaked out? Were you scared at the time when the car's on fire? Like,
yeah,
what the hell's going on?
I was probably like, 13? And all of a sudden the smoke, this dark black smoke, and is
terrifying.
Billowing into the car. I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Did your sister feel that Santa was punishing her for actually being bad?
I don't really know what my sister's impression was. I was too worried about
survival.
My gifts being
and then
let's get it right.
No, but it was a little scary because if you think about it, I mean, if we had not stopped for gas and we were driving down the highway, what would have happened?
No scope show, really, is what it comes down to.
Exactly.
So there you go.
That's the most
tragedy nearly averted.
Thank you for staying alive, Jared. I appreciate that.
And thanks, Santa, for driving us home.
Thank you, Santa. The Christmas spirit is watching over you.
Do you have the Billy Joel song queued up there? We didn't start the fire.
No.
I thought you were talking about Allentown.
Do you have the rim shot?
I do.
Thank you very much.
Anyone have any other crazy stories that can beat that?
I'd like to hear Jared's favorite holiday movie.
Okay, let's get
into we're going to me first.
Let's go into holiday movies. Jared, you're number one because everyone appreciates your opinion just about more than
pushing
anyone.
Pushing the show along.
So please, tell us about your pick for best holiday
movie. You know, I tell you I have
movie.
A story and you completely gloss over it, that's all?
I thought that we did the stories up front, so no. That was my bad.
Anyway, my favorite
cut it out in post.
Holiday movie was released in February.
No way.
The Ref. I love The Ref with Dennis Leary and...
That's a good movie.
And
explain a little bit about that.
Basically, it's about a dysfunctional family, and these two crooks are trying to escape the law and basically break into their house and masquerade as, I believe, the wife's psychologist or something, and spend this really dysfunctional Christmas Eve as the police are out searching the town trying to find them. And it's a comedy, and it's fun.
We got a clip for that?
No.
Trying to see what you can say.
What do you want? Jeez. So it's The Ref, Dennis Leary, and Kevin Spacey, and I forget the...
That kid from Dutch, I think?
Yeah.
And some broad.
Good fun. Yeah, I can't remember the
white. Adam, your favorite holiday movie. We'll just go around the room.
I have a list.
Well, please, list away.
I'm sure someone else is going to say A Christmas Story, but I'll trump them and say it first.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, we talked about this last time.
Yeah, you'll watch it soon.
You should.
Yeah, TBS will play it.
And the rest are funny in increasing order. The Santa Claus, which I do actually like. Home Alone and
yeah, I buzz Home Alone.
Home Alone 2?
Yeah, thank you.
I like Home Alone.
I like the first one, the second
that,
one.
I know. I only meant the first one. I really like the part near the end when everything happens and it's all nice.
It's nice to be sort of cheesy and.
And Ernest Saves Christmas.
Oh, that's an awesome one.
That is a good one.
And what's the plot of that movie?
Ernest. Saves Christmas.
Christmas is in danger, and Ernest must save.
It's just
kind of
like when he went to camp.
In a world where Christmas is in danger,
this one he does not.
Ernest will come forth and save the day.
Thanks, Don LaFontaine.
John, you must have a movie or two
under your
considerably small belt.
What really makes me mad is I thought of this for a few days.
Good grief!
And I thought of two movies.
Yes.
And then Washington Post did a review of the most unlikely Christmas movies, and both of those were on there, so it really ticked me off. But
the first one was...
You're not the Maverick you thought you were.
The first one was Die Hard.
There we go. Great movie.
I like when Bruce Willis says, God bless us, everyone, at the end of that.
Yep. That was very homey.
Touching.
Homey.
And the second was Gremlins, but... But Gremlins also... Gremlins had more of the little moral story to the end.
Those are more like movies that take...
But also, both movies had the opening credit theme song... Like Die Hard at Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Love that song.
Which is a hell of a good song. And Gremlins had... God, I can't even remember.
That kick-ass Perry Como.
No, U2 did a cover of it, but it's an old, like 60s, girl band doo-wop Christmas song.
The Ronettes.
Oh,
say
the one
was
from
Ronettes.
The opening credits?
I don't think it was the Ronettes, but it was...
I just said the Ronettes.
It might have been. So.
So, John, better way of Gremlin dying, microwave or blender?
Microwave was better because it was always edited on TV back in the day.
And fantastic.
Beautiful.
Holly, favorite holiday movie?
White Christmas.
What?
Traditional.
I was told that I had to see that this year and did not.
That is an awesome, awesome movie. Plot of White Christmas is two army buddies after the war team up, do dance.
Vietnam?
Song and dance.
The big one?
Does it
storm?
But they come home, they team up. They're dancing superstars, singing, dancing, and they meet these sisters, and all four of them go to Vermont.
Gangbang.
And there's... Gross. And there's...
And there's only white people in Vermont.
And there's...
And
no!
White Christmas.
God damn it.
White
no.
Christmas. We've ruined it for
there's
you.
There's no snow.
And they put tinsel on their white hoods.
Oh, my God. And there is no snow, and they go to this old lodge, and their old army general is running the lodge into the ground because there's no snow and there's no people coming to the lodge. So they throw this humongous fundraiser where they get all the army platoon reunited, and they throw on this big song and dance hoopla and raise money and save the whole lodge, and they have a big happy ending. And each of the guys and each of the girls, they like each other. So it works out.
It works out. So let me ask.
That was really gay.
What the hell was that awkward pause for?
Let me ask you a question. This movie was made in late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you relate to that movie as, you know, a 20-something-year-old. I mean, it's like, it's a completely different era. I mean, they have wired phones, you know.
My mother always watched it, and I'm assuming her parents liked it, and they had her watching it, and then we watched it growing up as kids, and I just got hooked on it. It's the best.
There's something quaint about those old movies, isn't there?
Puts you right in the mood for the holidays.
For loving, yes. Earl, your favorite holiday movie.
What about the one directed by Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Talking to the mic, my friend.
Oh, here we go.
All right, here we go.
Earl, your favorite holiday movie.
I got a few.
There's got to be something on there.
I have a list like Adam. Adam and I are the same.
Please.
We're more alike than people realize.
That's why we can't get along.
Yep. The Scrooge with Bill Murray.
Oh.
Is good.
I'm adding that to
one of my wife's
too.
Favorite movies.
By the way, great Maxim put that on their list of the top 12 worst Christmas movies.
Well, Maxim's gone gay, hasn't it?
Yes.
This is absolutely not gay.
Thank that was you. For you.
Scrooge, awesome film.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Which, is that the one that's now public domain?
Yeah,
I think
it's
so.
It's a
as of like
Mystery
yesterday.
Science Theater movie, yeah. I believe.
Well, they took it, but I mean, nah, it's better than that. I got the record with all the songs. Hooray for Santa Claus.
I should come over to your house and we should listen to the record.
I do. We can put it on the one that has the 8-track on it.
Fantastic. Continue your list.
You know how to
list.
Let's see. We got Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Mm-hmm. Now we get into the cheery stuff.
It's got it. Well, of course, Black Christmas, which I have not seen because I can't get a copy of it.
What about the remake of that new Deadly Christmas?
I don't know. Or it's Black Christmas.
Yeah, Black Christmas.
I don't know. I'm trying to find the first one, the original. Thank you.
So you've never seen it, but you still put it up there as one of the best? Is that what you're saying?
Everybody says it's good.
So it's got to be.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, yeah.
People are saying Transformers the movie is great. What do you think of that?
No, Michael Bay is saying it's great. And then,
I got you in a box, Earl.
Kind of going, no,
he's closing the lid.
And he's just to kind of veer off into television specials.
Please, veer.
Very unlikely. Nobody would ever think of it, but the Twilight Zone episode, Night of the Meek with Art Carney, is a great
that's
Christmas
good.
One.
That's very good.
Art Carney plays a drunken department store Santa.
That's not a movie,
gets
though.
A magic bag, and he's able to pull out stuff that people want for Christmas, and he just changes everybody's
You broke life. The system, Earl.
Like the Jabba's Place.
That's what I do, man.
Yep.
Break the mold. I broke that box you put me in.
No, I've got a list, much like Adam, much like Earl.
Have you checked it twice?
I have checked it twice, and I have some duplicates. I did throw A Christmas Story on my list. I also am mentioning A Christmas Vacation or Christmas Vacation with Chevy
That's
Chase.
Your favorite.
It's a great movie, you know. Yes. I think it's better than the original Vacation.
Oddly
it's
enough,
very sappy.
Do you know when that came out in the theaters? Like what
89?
But what the season it came out?
Was it a summer movie?
Summer. Yeah. Because I saw that and The Wizard together for my birthday.
The very Nintendo nice. Movie The Wizard? Yeah. Awesome.
Christmas Vacation, I love that movie because it's one of those that will come on, and my dad's not a huge movie guy, but every time that's on, he'll sit and watch that movie, and we'll laugh at the same stupid thing.
Absolutely amazing.
I really loved Elf. I don't think Jared's seen that movie.
Nope.
But I think it's...
I didn't like it that
I
much.
I thought it was funnier than hell.
Elf is great.
And now I'm going to get really sappy for you, lovely lady. I loved the movie Love Actually.
That's a really
it's
good
a British.
Was that the one that
British
we talked
movie?
About? Yeah, is that the one we talked about with Molly on the way?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. I really like
not
that.
Holly.
I just saw
Love
that.
Actually, it's Hugh Grant. It's
you know, it's got the guy from Shaun of the Dead.
I just saw that the last couple. I just saw that a couple weeks ago. Yeah, it is good.
Hugh Grant's the prime minister.
Yeah, Hugh Grant's prime minister. It's about four or five different stories going on, and these people have these intertwined
one.
Lives. Yeah. And then I also like Bridget Jones's Diary as well, which is also kind of Christmas.
It's a Christmas one.
Yeah, they do have it. Does kind of take place during Christmas. It's like over a year, and it starts at Christmas and ends at Christmas. And I was talking to a coworker who spent a year in, or at least was in. London during Christmas time, and she was telling me that Christmas has a whole different vibe over there. I mean, it's very traditional. Everybody really gets into it. It's just a really big deal overseas. I mean, it is here too, but you know, there's probably more of a tradition over there and a long-term impact that we may not have here in the States.
That's because that's where the history is.
Exactly. History. That's the word I was looking for. But I just like these British movies. They really seem to capture the spirit, and they tend to be sappy, and I think the one time a year where you can have sappy movies and be okay with it.
And
is
it's
Christmas
just a good
time.
Movie. It's not just a good
Yeah.
Christmas.
So see Love Actually.
Why don't they have any sappy Arbor Day movies? What's the deal?
There's actually, I think, a horror film.
You know, no one addressed the actual real good Christmas movie. Which
Please.
Which was It's a Wonderful Life, which is like the ultimate
I thought
Christmas
Shane
film.
Was going to say it.
I've never seen that movie all the way through.
A Miracle on 34th Street, you know? Yeah, exactly. But no, actually, It's a Wonderful Life. I actually bought it last Christmas, and it was a very good film, and
it's
very fun
film,
to watch at this
about
time
the
of year.
Spirit of Christmas.
Yeah, the interesting thing
yeah,
about
but those
that,
are the obvious ones.
Yeah, and that movie
exactly,
wasn't
yeah.
that movie wasn't well reviewed when it came out. By the
no,
way,
no,
not very well liked.
That movie.
Yep, turned
nobody
into a cult classic, maybe one of the first.
Because Frank Capra
Star Wars also
was
not well
always
reviewed.
Crapped
no,
on.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, he was. That's why his name was Capra.
Yep, Crapra. Frank Crapra.
Thank you, guests. This has been the Scope Holiday Spectacular Roundup. I want to thank everybody for contributing. We've got more show coming up. We're going to push this sucker right along. We've got some reviews. We've got news, all that jazz. So stick around, everybody. This is the Scope.
For all of you overseas and at home, have a great night.
This is the Oprah Winfrey Celebrity Shoutout of the Day.
Matthew McConaughey!
That was the Oprah Winfrey Celebrity Shoutout of the Day. You go, girl! It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Ah, yes, from the Nick Adams Christmas record. This is Do You Hear What I Hear? Have a happy holiday and keep it locked on the Scope.
Set the night wind to the little ram. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you really see what I really see?
Do you see what I see?
A star, a shiny star, dancing, dancing in the night. With a tail as big as a kite. Tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb, the little shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Ringing through the night sky, shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear? A song, some strange song. High, high above the trees. With a voice as big as the sea.
With a voice
as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know?
Know what I know?
In your palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know? Out there's
know
a child, a child, a child that shivers and freezes in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. The king to the people everywhere, you better listen to what I say.
You,
brave of peace, people everywhere, listen to what I say. The child sleeping so deeply in the night. He will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light.
There's more of the Scope dead ahead.
Under the Scope.
Under the Scope Holiday Edition. It's that part of the show when we cover news, reviews, and coming soon. Let's kick it off with
eggnog
and the news. Adam, what's Santa up to now?
Eggnog and the News is one of my favorite 80s bands, by the way.
Hit it.
Okay, so the first story, real downer. Trial set for father in killing of tot who broke video game.
Uh-oh, boy.
By the way...
I told Adam to get holiday stories, and this is what he gets. Right.
By the way, I'd like to point out that the headline reads that the kid broke her father's video game, which you find out later didn't actually happen. So I don't like that the headline actually blames the kid. Tyrone Spellman explained to police that he quote unquote snapped after he thought his daughter had broken his $600 Xbox game console. So I assume it's a 360. Aaliyah Turman, very bad name to name your kid, by the way, because they have very bad luck.
Aaliyah's
mm-hmm. staying alive.
Yeah,
was only 17 months old. She was beat to death, prosecutors say. So here we go.
Thanks for cheering us up.
Wait, they're going to blame it on video games. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay, no. Wait.
No, I'm ready to kill myself.
Prosecutors say Spellman, 25, they say he was playing one of Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon games, a violent combat epic.
Was he searching for clams in the surf?
I like that one, Jared. That was for me.
In a front bedroom in his family's Barrytown home. This was
If he was playing in the back bedroom, everything would be okay.
I forget what state this is in now. He had taken into the room so her mother, Mia, could rest. She pulled the cord and the whole game console fell over, Spellman said in a statement. I thought it was broken. I popped her in the face. I picked her up and tossed her in a chair. So there's that.
Well, whoop. Ooh.
Wow. I know. It's an interesting story.
They will unmute it, Earl.
Does Tom Clancy have a...
I'm going to go and kick that guy's ass right now. I got to go.
Well, the government might do it.
Government's got him. What else is happening that's as cheery as that? Please.
More video game stories.
Oh, what?
They're being blamed again, this time for injuring a baseball pitcher.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good one.
Joel Zamaya, who is a relief pitcher for the Detroit Tigers.
Great pitcher.
Most people don't know this, but he missed 3 games of the ALCS last October when he hurt his
American
arm.
League Championship Series. One step away from World Series.
Right.
Thank you, Shane.
They did go on to
what
lose that series.
They did. They did lose it. So
you're saying that's like second place?
It'd be closer to fourth place.
Oh.
But here in the scope, we're fine
to sports. The Detroit Free Press, Zamaya was hurt playing a PlayStation 2 video game called...
Guitar Hero.
Yes, Guitar Hero. In which the player simulates playing an electric guitar for popular rock bands. Zamaya, a 22-year-old rookie, suffered inflammation in his throwing wrist and forearm from playing the game.
He must have really been playing hard. Holy cow.
I would like to make a note that Jared is awesome at Guitar Hero.
I played one song. Come on.
We played it at Best Buy, and we spent like an hour trying to get through War Pigs because that song is effing long.
It is.
I'm going to try to buy that game when it comes out for the 360, and we'll have a review.
Apparently he's fine now, by the way.
Okay.
Thank God.
Please, give us another story.
Another video game story. This one
more video games.
Right. Continuing our trend of shitting on Sony. You'll hear it under me. So this week there was a big controversy. Actually, the somethingawful.com goons, the forums there, they kind of broke this news story. There was a website set up like a blog called All I Want for Xmas is a PSP.com. And the guy on it did a rap, which you're going to hear under me. Yeah. We'll link it on the site because it's embarrassingly bad.
This is terrible.
Listen, let us listen a little bit here.
Okay. I love this. PSP, PSP,
PSP, PSP, PSP, PSP, PSP. Tell it. PSP. What'd you say?
Game's so
crazy. Yeah.
The games that are crazy, by the way. They amaze him.
They totally amaze him.
So here's the very first blog entry on the site. I'll read it for you. Here's the deal. I, Charlie, have a PSP. My friend Jeremy does not. This is all in lowercase.
My friend Jared.
As right. Shane actually set this up. But he wants one this year for Xmas. So we started clowning with some not-so-subtle hints to Jay's parents that a PSP would be a perfect gift.
A perfect. Tech cool.
We created this site to spread the love, L-U-V, to those like Jay who want a PSP. Consider us your own personal PSP hype machine here to help you wage a holiday assault on your parents. You are girl, granny, boss, whoever. So they really know what you want.
Yeah, boy.
Why couldn't that dad beat those guys?
So yeah, somethingawful.com, if anyone's not aware, it's a just popular, I don't know, website. They have a forum with, it's one of the largest forums on the internet. So they, in their games forum, they had a bunch of people that were talking about it and about how they thought it was fake and all the stuff was going back and forth. And they did investigation on finding out who registered the domain. It turned out it was Zamaya.com, and they're like a viral marketing company. And so they went through the whole thing and they figured
not
it
a
out.
Very good viral marketing company. No.
And then on Wednesday, the FTC came out with this ruling that basically says if you're going to do a viral marketing campaign, you need to make it clear that you're behind it. So when that happened, the exact same time, it was like almost the same day that they'd been busted on that, you know, the site was actually an advertising site. So they made another blog entry that was like, yo, peeps, what up? I guess we've been caught. Peace out. And
it totally amazed me.
That rap song is about as good as the Zelda rap song from the commercial back in the day.
I'm just going to play that.
You're going to drop that beat right over Adam's news. Adam, give us another story.
That's great stuff.
A lot of people probably know that the Wiimotes, the little wrist straps, have been breaking.
Causing bodily harm everywhere.
Well, Shane, how many have you shattered in your
17.
It's amazing.
I've lost 14 televisions, and my child has one leg. That's
wow.
How it yeah.
Deadly.
There's a website set up in dedication to people that have broken their TVs called wehaveaproblem.com.
It's called weardumbshits.com.
Basically, you know, people are like flinging it around and the strap's breaking.
I don't know what they're doing, but it's not like you're trolling baton.
Penny Arcade described it as they were like soaking themselves in pig fat first to get as slippery as possible.
Yeah. Everyone knows that I have a Nintendo Wii, and I can tell you from personal experience, I've never not held on to it. I mean, it's I don't know what you have to be besides a big fat sweaty
yeah,
pig.
Well,
I know there's some people who are actually releasing it as if it were an actual
bowling ball.
Then that's a problem.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah,
Nintendo Wii.
It
totally amazed me.
John, you want to do a little freestyle?
Yeah. Nintendo Wii. They totally amazed me. Fling it in the air. Fling it in the air. Hits a TV screen. Busts a TV screen. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm
That's about as good as that viral marketing campaign.
I love that music.
So good. So anyway, Nintendo is going to offer to replace the wrist straps for people for free, but they're not doing a recall. They're not paying for people's stuff.
Actually, they are doing a recall.
Good.
I read today that they're not.
Allowing you to order the straps.
Okay, maybe
for
that's
free.
It.
Yeah.
I know they're going to replace them
all. 17 cents per strap.
Exactly.
Next story, Adam.
$5 shipping, though.
Yep. No shipping card.
Oh, no?
No.
That's nice. Girls Gone Wild producer has been sentenced to community service after filming two 17-year-olds on one of their DVDs.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
You know, I have to say something. What's that guy's name? Is it in there?
Yes, it is. Mantra. No, Mantra.
Sleazy
Mix. Joe Francis.
Joe Francis. My wife was talking to me about him yesterday, as a matter of fact. She gets Us Weekly.
She was wondering how to get on one of the tapes.
And this guy, We were practicing. No, he
I'm ready to go wild now, Shane.
He is the biggest star ever. All of these famous people hang out with him all the time. And I'm not talking like just Snoop Dogg. Like Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn went and hung out with him. And they go out and hang out at his big...
They go boob hunting?
Yeah. They go to his mansion and they'll go on wakeboarding and crap like that.
But
all
why,
these famous people.
Maybe
why?
He's
why
cool, maybe
why,
he's a cool guy.
I've heard he's nothing but a sleazy dude.
But why does he get a slap on the wrist like community service?
Well, that's not the only thing. He also has to. Well, this still is a slap on the wrist. He agreed to pay $1.6 million in fines,
which is like 12 DVDs.
Well, yeah. What it turns out is that $1.6 million is less than 3% of their profits since 2002, and 12% of their 2005 profits.
So do the girls in these tapes, do they get a cut?
No.
No, they don't.
Of course not. They sign a waiver. Right.
You know, I got to...
Where are the parents? Where are the parents?
They're on the parents'
Some of them are encouraging them to be honest.
Remember,
I have a 17-year-old kid, and if I saw her on there, all hell would break loose.
She better get paid.
This whole station would go down in flames. I'd be so mad.
John, say it in rhyme.
Say it in rhyme, John.
Station go down in flames, down in flames, down in flames. I'd be so mad.
Can you add the 24
I talk like,
to this?
I rap like Puff Daddy because he doesn't know how to rap, and he raps like crap because he's such a horrible rapper.
I like the remix. This is the remix edition.
I think that bit has officially been killed.
Yeah,
we're done. Next story.
Can we have Tom Cruise rap over it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't have up in
the I know.
Okay.
I know. Joe Francis not out of hot water yet.
Oh.
He also faces a January 22nd hearing in Los Angeles on similar charges, which he has agreed to pay $500,000 in fines on, but he still has to be sentenced there.
Mm-hmm.
Also pending against Francis are state felony charges in which he is accused of using children in sexual performances. These counts stem from 2003 filing at the heart of Wednesday's pleas. So,
and much to Earl's chagrin, he's also an executive producer on Transformers the movie.
You know what? I wouldn't surprise me because you know they say Spielberg's a member of NameBlock.
Wow.
I got the article. I got a news question.
A news question?
The news is not an open forum, Earl.
This falls into what we're talking about. I saw a headline, and when I went back to it, I couldn't find it, but something to the effect of Sony... It's kind of regretting putting the Blu-ray in the PlayStation 3 because it's costing them market or something.
I had not read that.
I don't think that's.
I just
the
saw
case.
A headline. I was wondering if anybody knew anything about it.
The Blu-ray has kind of held back production because it's a difficult aspect of the PlayStation 3 to produce. So that's parts for that have been keeping it from penetrating the market as quickly because they can't get enough units.
Penetrating.
What a great word.
Last story, Adam.
It's absolutely
in
not
the end,
game.
In the end, they're actually
Thank
saving
you,
money by
Thank
not
you,
selling
Scope.
Them.
Yep,
so.
They are saving money.
Let's see. What do we want? Borat or World's Tallest Man Saves Dolphins?
Anyone? World's Tallest Man Saves Dolphins
I'd
or
like
Borat?
I'd like to go for the Dolphins.
I guess that's it.
Okay, do
Borat
it.
Lawsuits.
The long arms of the world's tallest man reached in and saved two dolphins by pulling plastic material out of their stomachs. State media and aquarium officials in China said.
There it is.
Plastic shards!
That's amazing. the dolphins got sick after nibbling on plastic from the edge of their pool at an aquarium in Liaoning Province.
I keep thinking of that tar guy from The Simpsons. He's got the small car.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
It's not nice to make fun of people.
Oh, Nelson laughing at it. Yeah. Attempts to use this is really good. Attempts to use surgical instruments to remove plastic failed because the dolphin's stomachs contracted in response to the instruments.
Come here, Flipper. I'm going to get plastic out of your belly.
Veterans then decided to ask for help from Bao Xuan, a 7'9" herdsman from Inner Mongolia with 41.7-inch arms.
Giant.
Bao, 54, was confirmed last year by the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's tallest living man.
So you take my arm now!
He has wrong arms.
But what did you say? He's a lamb herder? What?
Yes.
He's a herdsman.
Herdsman.
A herdsman. A Mongolian herdsman. That's awesome.
That's with an EA.
Wow. I love that, like, the doctors couldn't do it. They're like, call in the giant guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And they all went...
Holy crap, that's awesome.
Well, Adam, that could be one of your best news segments ever.
Thanks. That was jam-packed.
Feel-good story of the year.
I want to go draw that right now.
Let's finish the show.
Let's finish the show. I think it's time to move on to some reviews.
Wow. Don't ever do that again.
We've got three, but we've also got a scoring system, which I must read every single time. It's called the Scope Score. It's a scale rating from 0 stars to a perfect score of 4. Have we had a perfect score?
No. Never. Borat was the closest.
Borat was close, and we had a 0 stars, didn't we?
Did we get
last
that week?
Last week, Girlfriends.
Girlfriends was 0.
Let's find out this week if we have any contenders for any of those records. Let's start with what, Adam?
What are we starting with?
I think holiday CDs summaries for December 16th, 2006.
Good place to start, Adam.
Billy Idol's Happy
Hunt. It's not nice here to read that way, little boy.
Ad-lib something funny. Oh, wait.
Go ahead.
All right. So, guys, for our first ever holiday-themed episode of The Scope, we're going to tackle two recently released Christmas music albums.
You're going to read it like Shane would read it.
Yeah.
First on the docket, Billy Idol's Happy Holidays, a very special Christmas album. That's in parentheses, that last part.
Yep, that's how the album is.
On this disc...
This is Billy Idol, I want to wish you a happy holiday and a very merry new year.
On this disc, Billy belts out 17 Christmas tunes in a very non-ironic way.
Yeah,
no. Let's listen to Billy take a crack on Santa Claus is Back in Town.
Well, it's Christmas time, pretty baby. And the snow is falling on the ground.
I can hear his lip.
Well, it's Christmas time, pretty baby. And the snow is falling down.
Christmas.
Will you be a real good mama? Santa Claus is back in town.
Give him the hook. Stop it, stop it. I can't listen to this anymore.
Now we're going to have the traditional blues breakdown.
You see me coming in a big black Cadillac. Oh, it's Christmas time for the big thing.
Wow.
Billy, don't sing the blues. Come on.
And just fun, here's a clip of a very serious idol singing the classic Silent Night.
For all of you overseas and at home, have a great night.
Sleep in heavenly peace. Oh, yeah. Sleep.
But it's serious.
Oh, here's where it gets exciting. Just you wait.
Silent night. Holy night. Son of God, love's pure light.
It's gonna be tight, y'all.
Man, he is no Bing Crosby.
I am no longer a Christian.
Let Adam read his text, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, guys, can this holiday album from 80s pop punk superstar and wedding singer cameoer, if that's a word, Billy Idol, make it a nice day for a white Christmas?
Wow.
We'll start with Jared.
I think I liked it more than other people. and that's not saying a lot.
That's 55 million people more?
No. I appreciate the production values of the music. I thought it was decent, but it really seemed like Billy Idol went in and did one take of each song. And
he sounded drunk.
From the vocals, yeah, it did sound like one take.
It seems like a total sellout. It's the only purpose is to make some money, and he's doing the Rod Stewart thing, just trying to capitalize on the classics.
Rod Stewart did it good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Billy Idol did a poor
job. Rod Stewart is good.
That's Adam, okay. What's your take?
No, I mean, I listened to it knowing it was, like, thinking it was a gag.
Well, he tried to sing every song ever known. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Like, there are a bunch of Christmas songs. I was like, I don't think this is a real Christmas song. So well,
are there some originals on there?
I think there might be a couple originals or very obscure ones. Yeah.
So I was like, it's going to be a gag. I'll listen to it and maybe it's okay. And the first track is Frosty the Snowman. And he kind of sings it like peppy. And you know, I was like, maybe it'll be good. And it's just all downhill from there. And
you're already at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah. Yeah, really. So, yeah.
It's like when you're a kid and you have to pull the sled back up the hill.
Pretty much.
It was worse than that because then you actually get to go down the hill again.
Yeah, there's something to look forward to.
Right. You have this like
the hill's all icy. And by the fourth, wipe out halfway
you
down.
The
you got to slide.
Yeah. You climb all the way to the top of the
and
hill.
And on fire.
And then your parents make you go home.
That's the worst.
No, Adam actually stopped in the street and a car hit him.
Yeah,
that's right. How bad it was.
That's this.
As much as everyone loves to hear me talk, because like, we get letters all the time, especially during the reviews, this is going to be my shortest review ever. It's three words.
Wow.
Vile. Ironic sellout. Give us a score, Jared.
The Scope score is 3/4 star.
I say it's too high, but hey, that's no accounting for taste. Next album.
The second Christmas album up for review, really holiday album, by the way, not Christmas album. Up
well,
for
this
review
is all Christmas.
Is another, I guess it is, another famous 80s act, Twisted Sister. Dee Snider, by the way, not a Jew as I thought. He's a half Jew, and you spelled it wrong. It's S-N-I-D-E-R.
He's half Jew?
Yeah, his dad is.
Isn't it why?
Nope.
So, if he walks into a synagogue and only half of them shows up?
Exactly.
Half he.
Dee Snider and company tackled 10 classic songs on their album, Twisted Christmas. Unlike Billy Idol, Twisted Sister doesn't deviate from their heavy metal sound on any of the tracks. Listen to their We're Not Gonna Take It inspired version of O Come All Ye Faithful.
Yeah, throw the devil horns up, folks.
O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant.
Glorious.
Definitely Twisted
Speechless.
Sister.
Probably the this best, was great.
Probably the best song on the album,
yes,
I think.
Yes.
I would put that in a Christmas mix, I
did
think.
Did you see those guys, or did you see them on Leno the other night?
Did they sing that song?
Yep, they sang this song, and they were in full makeup, and all their
Was it red, white, and green?
No. Makeup? No, they had their regular old 80s makeup on.
That would have been awesome.
But they had all these stacked amps, and they had little Christmas bows on every amp, and it was just,
it was
great.
Touching.
Like they were heavy metal presents?
Exactly. Heavy metal presents for my ears.
Our second clip comes from Heavy Metal Christmas, the 12 Days of Christmas. Listen in as the TS crew.
Twisted Sister.
As the
crew.
As the Twisted Sister
TS
crew.
TS Extreme.
Adapts the holiday classic into something a little more appropriate for their fans.
Very nice read.
My heavy metal Christmas, my grown up gave to me.
You don't read that part.
Dude. I'd like to point out that Nick Adams did it first. Thank you.
Well, you better sue.
I am.
I want to see how high I can get my voice.
I'm
on
still
this.
Working on suing.
Okay,
H1.
Everybody, get ready for this.
So,
yep. Here
will
we
the
go.
Twisted Sister Christmas Christmas album make you want to say, "I want to run"? Or will it make you feel like you'll burn in hell?
Which is another one of their songs.
I know. Yeah, there you go.
Jared, lead us off.
Why do I have to go first?
Because you're sexy and hot.
I'm going to say I probably like this more than other people. I had a smile on the whole time I was listening to this because it was Twisted Sister doing Christmas music, and they said, screw it, we're doing Twisted Sister style
doing
music.
Doing Christmas music.
It's awesome. No, I mean, they didn't. I just, I liked the whole concept. I thought they had fun with it. I would listen to it at the holidays.
Like the Nick
Adams.
I'd
share it with the family.
Dude.
Adam? Nick Adam?
Again, I listened to it thinking it was a gag. And the very first time all the way through the album, it was one of like the best experiences I've had listening to an album the first time through. Then I listened to it a second time and I was like, okay.
The joke's over.
Right around like the sixth song, actually, you start to be like, okay. Because every song really starts to sound the same.
It's a novelty thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But I will say that if you were going to have like a Christmas party, and this would be like, there's at least a couple songs on here that would be really cool to pick out and just blast, because I think people wouldn't be expecting it. And it's funny, but like the novelty, it's not going to last.
Doesn't last.
Yeah.
Yeah, they.
I gotta say, it doesn't have that sellout quality sound.
Definitely not.
Like the Billy Idol. Billy Idol's just total sellout. This one, it sounded, you know, they cared.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
Earl, it was true to their sound and to their fans.
Damn right.
But a little bit does go a long way. Score it.
The Scope Score is.
That was a big arm sweep.
2¼ stars.
What?
So if you're going to buy one 80s
it just doesn't hold
rock
up over time
Christmas
it's
album,
a compromise.
You get Twisted Sister.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but I only listen to the Nick Adams Christmas record every holiday season.
Well, then you're in trouble.
Here we go. Bum, 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 bum.
We're walking down the street.
Like I mentioned earlier, we have a little bit of unfinished business from last week. It's called the Random Review of the Week.
Get ready for the Random Review of the Week. It could be appalling. It could be incredible. But it's always unpredictable. The Random Review of the Week.
With those of you with short memories, we drew the television show The Class, a half-hour sitcom on CBS. Adam,
yes.
Do your business.
My throat still hurts from that scream. Wow. Our Random Review of the Week is for the freshman comedy The Class, created by some of the people behind Friends. That's a little show on NBC.
Maybe. A little show. So people were talking
about
it.
Heard about it.
CBS has high hopes for the sitcom. What's the show about? Just as we did with our last Random Review, Girlfriends, let's go to the CBS website for all the info. I like that you do this.
Thank you.
The Class is a comedy about a group of 20-somethings inextricably bound together.
Oh, now see, that's where you brought them down with the big word.
I know. By having been in the same
5 letters or less,
same,
you really got to dump it down.
By the same third grade class, 2 decades later, their lives intersect once again, giving them an uncommon opportunity to learn how everyone turned out and rebuild some old friendships.
It sounds like something we'd all want to watch.
Shane, on this piece of paper, it says, sounds terrific. one of the good or bad things about this show is the robust cast and multiple storylines. It's complicated enough that
they're,
the show
they're
starts
flavorful.
starts, yeah, robust is an odd
oh,
choice.
Oh, sorry.
There. With a the show starts with a rundown of everything that's happened before. Listen in, and this is only the fourth episode, right? Is a rerun. Yeah. So all this happened. Yeah. Listen in as we catch up with The Class.
Like the show's been going
if
for 50 years.
Class, here's what you missed.
Take notes.
Holly reconnected with her old boyfriend Kyle.
Oh.
Then she and her husband Perry asked him for a little favor.
Surprising.
I think you mentioned last night you teach first grade at Pembridge Academy.
I do.
Oh yeah.
I don't suppose there's any way you could help us get Oprah in there.
Hell no.
You named your daughter Oprah?
Oh.
We have some of the finest writers.
Richie hit Lena with his car.
Sorry about that.
Broke every bone in both her feet and nearly lost her in a hurricane.
Ooh, that's gonna hurt.
So they're still going strong. Kat and Ethan became closer friends.
Can I get you some privacy?
What do you care? You're a doctor.
I'm a pediatrician.
That means I want to look at naked kids.
Just make sure everything's smaller.
And Nicole spent the night with the love of her life, Jonathan Carmelo.
I don't know what this is.
Even though she's married to football star Yonk Allen.
Why don't we take some steaks out of the freezer and do it.
Played by Keith David, ladies and gentlemen.
David Keith.
To make things just a little more complicated, Duncan took a job renovating Nicole's house over her not so slight objections.
Oh no, you're not.
Oh yes, I am.
Oh
I'm
no, you did.
This job.
No, you did.
The job is now.
It
started.
Turns into girlfriends.
Yeah, it does.
Wow. Job is now begun.
Are you gonna announce everything he does?
Oh shit!
Wow, you know that little gimmick worked better on soap.
The show has too much going on to try to summarize it all in a couple of sentences. Instead, let's listen to the clip featuring Yonk Allen, former football star. Yes, guys, I said Yonk.
Yonk,
yeah,
touchdown!
Suck it. Super Bowl 16. Suck on that.
That's actually a proposition.
Hello?
Oh, hey, babe.
What's going on?
I'm kicking his ass.
Gay sex, whatever.
Douche. Douche. Young Allen just called me douche.
Wah, wah,
you guys
wah,
hang
wah.
Out now. Who saw that coming? I didn't.
Young Allen told me to suck on it.
Max Katie is in the audience right now.
Counselor.
He has come a long way from Tennessee Bar.
Simmer down.
That's the CBS Tennessee show, Bar. The Class. It can be seen every Monday night at 9:30.
Or Tony's back here next time and we'll recap every episode.
I'm confused because here's the last sentence of this piece of paper, by the way. Girlfriends can be seen every Monday night at 9:30.
I edited it wrong. Yeah. Come on.
Wow. It's all
right. You should have wrote that.
What show was this again?
This was the class.
Adam, okay. Please tell us what you think of the class.
Okay, and we talked about this a little bit at work and we shouldn't have because I think we agreed and it's sad, but every male character on this show, and it's really odd, except for the Joey character who you heard talking to former football star. I don't know if you noticed
that. He told me to suck it.
Yeah.
He called me a douche.
He's the Joey character of the show. Every guy except for him, and even him a little bit, is oddly feminine and like and gay. It's just really, really odd. Right. Yeah, they ate too much soy as children, so now they're gay.
Their gay TiVos are programming shows.
So it's just weird. Like Shane and I were joking around. We were saying that the most hetero seeming, you know, like outwardly hetero guy on the show is the gay guy or the one guy that
you know
knows
what?
Gay.
You're right. Yeah. Now that you mentioned it, that's absolutely true.
So it's weird. And the characters are really annoying. Like, there's no like actually redeeming characters. There were a couple jokes in it that at least, you know, kind of cracked a smile on me, so that's why it's not nearly as bad, and it's not offensive like Girlfriends is. So it's just boring and bland.
The thing about the characters on the show is they're very broad strokes when they come on screen. So you like, oh, that person could be from Friends, this person could be from this show. There doesn't really seem to be that much in terms of originality happening.
No.
And the other thing about the acting on the show, it feels too sitcom-y crossed with Broadway. I mean,
everyone's yelling at each other.
Everyone's yelling, and everyone's doing a play, you know. And
they're all doing vaudeville.
Yeah, it does not. There's nothing natural about it. And
that one guy was in blackface, and that's not cool.
No, it was very odd.
Wrong.
For a sitcom,
it seemed out of place.
For a sitcom to be successful, it's a very fine line between overacting and being something where you can relate to these people.
And poop.
I'd start with being funny.
And Friends was a show that, even though sometimes they crossed that line, overall you seemed to like the people that were on there, and you didn't feel like they were shoving the funny down your throat, among other things.
And they packed in some attractive people. Like,
exactly.
That helped.
So that's what I think.
Yeah, why? I didn't even think about that. Everyone on the show, I mean, not everyone, but like the attractive level, you know, the attractiveness level on this show is well below what you'd come to expect from.
It's weird. They're
weird
looking.
Of the yellow.
And by the way, one of the guys on there, the guy Ethan, who is a pediatrician, is John Ritter's son, if you didn't know that.
I did not know
so
that.
So he's following his father's footsteps. Jared, give us your opinion, then give us a score.
It was just the writing was pretty poor, and you know, the overacting really got on my nerves, and everyone yelling at each other. And I just can't get over, nobody's named Yonk. I mean, where would you even get a nickname of
no,
Yonk?
No, but he's a football player.
I know that, but still. Go. Where do you get a nickname of Yonk? John?
I can be
everybody in
Yonk.
Sweden is named Yonk.
He's from Yonkers.
Is that it?
I don't know.
Maybe that's
lost in Yonkers.
That's the most plausible explanation I've
but
heard
he does,
yet.
But he does have a quasi-Southern accent. On the show.
Yonkers is known as the Dixie of New York City. So
yep.
I don't know.
Score it.
Little known fact.
Score it.
The Scoop score is 1 star.
We need to find some better stuff to review at some point.
But we won't be doing it next week because we have a special planned. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's close up the reviews and find out what's coming soon. Yeah, we're going on. The show is a marathon, people, but who cares? It's the holidays, goddammit!
You're going to be sitting around with your family. You want to put your earbuds in and listen to us instead.
Exactly.
Now,
Adam?
This Christmas present I had back... No, I'm just kidding.
Let's go.
Ready?
Read away.
All right, coming soon. Music for December 19th. Bow Wow, formerly known as Lil Bow Wow.
Mm-hmm. He grew up.
His new album comes out, fresh off his appearance on Smallville.
Oh, yeah.
As a bad guy.
Who was he on Smallville?
The bad guy for an episode, three episodes.
Yeah. Cyborg?
The bad rapper.
No.
Cyborg's a good guy, you bastard.
Cyborg has been out there, though.
One of the Phantom Zone guys inhabited his body and made him kill stuff.
Made him rap.
By the way, the Justice League episode is this week, right?
So tune in, everybody.
Yeah.
What else is coming in music?
Nas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who sings hip-hop, and the album is called Hip-Hop is Dead, so... It's interesting.
The irony is beautiful.
Congratulations.
December 26th. Nothing of note.
No. It's interesting. It's very dead week, pretty much.
Yeah, it's a day to spend with the family, not go shopping.
But I bet you there's a lot of movies coming out right around Christmas.
Billy Idol's Happy Holidays on that day.
Happy Holidays.
Shane, in fact, there are a number of movies coming
out.
Please
enlighten us.
December 20th, Night at the Museum is the movie with, what's his name, Ben Stiller?
With yep. Shane. Shane's in it.
I'm in it.
Yeah.
You
and your buddy... Owen Wilson's in there.
I do want to go. Like? I'm
you
really
look
curious.
Like Ben Stiller.
I've been told that for a long time.
Why can't you make a movie without Owen Wilson?
Adam, before my glasses and when I wore my hair a little bit longer, people.
Your ears don't. His ears are massive.
Yeah, you've gotten older.
I just want to put a grinding halt to the show, and I want to go around the room and say, is it going to be good or bad? Night at the Museum, Jared.
I don't think it looks good.
Earl.
Good.
Ollie.
Good.
Talking to the mic, honey.
Your mic. It's going to be good.
John, honey.
No, I don't think so.
Adam?
I don't know. Indian in the Cupboard is what it reminds me of, so I want it to be good, but I don't think it will be.
Verdict is out. Okay. Split decision. What will America do?
I hate Robin Williams. I thought I'd throw that out.
Doesn't like you much either.
Well, it also has Dick Van Dyke and Mickey Rooney.
That's where I want to see
Ricky Gervais.
And a Wilson bro.
December 22nd, The Good German, which is getting destroyed by critics this week.
Wow. How does that compare to The Good Shepherd?
It's an excellent question. George Clooney, Kate Blanchett, Tony Maguire in this one. Steven Soderbergh. Yes.
That's a great poster. Poster art is awesome.
Wait, maybe it's The Good Shepherd that's getting bad reviews.
The CIA?
Because
everyone loves George Clooney.
Also,
we know that.
Also that week is The Good Shepherd. Mm-hmm. Robert De Niro directs this movie, which includes the history of the CIA, including Matt Damon, Angelina Jolie, Alec Baldwin, and everyone's favorite, William Hurt.
And Lil Bawa.
Everyone's favorite.
Also on the 22nd. Wow, that was a lot. Rocky Balboa, the sixth Rocky movie.
Let's go around the room. Rocky Balboa, good or bad? Jared.
Subtitled The Good Riddance. No, it'll be terrible.
Terrible? Adam.
Terrible. People laugh at the trailer in the movie theater.
I got average, but you know what? Funny internet movie database said, what movie do you want to see the most in December? Rocky Balboa won big time.
Holly, you love boxing movies. You punch her in the face all the time. What do you think?
Never seen a Rocky movie, so I really can't.
Not even the one with Mr. T?
See the first one. First one's good.
Johnny Boy.
Only if he dies in the ring, then it'll be awesome.
Wow. Yeah, I never thought of that angle.
I'm not looking forward to it at all, but here's a little tidbit. Entertainment Weekly reviewed it. I think Owen reviewed it, said it was a movie he could not stay away from far enough. Terrible. He was not looking forward to it. And he saw it, and he actually liked it and said it was surprisingly good and gave it a B+.
Wow.
Right.
It's going to be a surprise show. I think everybody's laughing at it.
B+. Plus. Now I will see it because Earl knows all I do is pay attention to the critics. Next movie.
Right. You don't make a move without the critics, man.
I certainly do not.
You don't.
Gomatron my ass.
What the hell?
That came out of nowhere.
No,
I got it. I loved it.
Last new movie.
Last new movie.
We Are Marshall. Starring Matthew McConaughey and Matthew Fox, whose name doesn't even get mentioned on the trailer, so I guess he's not above
Lost. Any other Matthews on there? Is Matthew Perry
from
in there?
Lost.
Matthew J. Fox.
From Lost Michael J. and Fox. From Party of Five.
Oh, I don't watch any of
Is Matthew Modine in
and it's, from Mr. Belvedere. Yeah.
It's about Marshall College's football program after a 1970 plane crash that killed much of the team.
Pussies.
Everyone's favorite Charlie's Angels director, McGee, directs.
Oh, really?
I remember when McGee
But Al Swearengen.
I remember when you could get a
McGLT.
DVD, December 19th.
That's yes.
Swedgen.
This coming Tuesday.
Swedgen. Can't wait.
Tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Monday. All the King's Men.
San Francisco.
Jet Li's Fearless. Little Miss Sunshine.
What?
A Scanner Darkly. The Wicker Man. Invincible. Not the comic book. Again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I want to move
Lady in the Water. Did anyone see that?
No, I kind of want to see it, though.
I did.
Earl, do you like it? Quick review.
I liked it. It was advertised completely wrong.
Do you like all M. Night Shyamalan movies?
No, I didn't like Signs.
Did you like The Village?
It was okay.
Signs, no. Village, okay.
He's a tough one.
I loved Unbreakable.
Did you like M. Night Shyamalan's The Exploding Bladder? Because I got to go potty. Come on.
Let's wrap it up. Come on. We got to get to the end of this.
Simpsons Season 9.
Can't wait. Lisa had this time.
And the only DVD that's a bigger downer than my first news story, When the Levees Broke. Which,
a Spike Lee joint.
Yes.
No, he stopped saying. Man, I'm surprised.
Hold on.
Is coming out on DVD.
I smoked it, and I'm buzzing.
December 26th, Jackass 2, Airwolf Season 2.
Wow.
Yeah! That's the one where we fight the evil Airwolf.
This is all I have to say about Here's my quick review of Airwolf.
The Soap Score is... 4 stars.
Yeah. Ernest Borgnine,
baby. For those of us that are only not 30.
There's two of you, and you're both Jewish in the room.
Wow, look at that. Are you saying the Jews don't age?
They don't age. I don't know what they do. It's like that menorah.
It's the gold. The damn gold.
A one-sentence synopsis of what Airwolf is?
Yes.
Give us a
It's about a superpower helicopter.
No, no, the correct answer is Knight Rider in the air.
Okay. Yeah.
No, man, Blue Thunder.
New Adventures of He-Man Volume 1.
Are you going to get that, Earl? Yes or no?
Yeah, because I got to complete the fucking spine.
Oh, yeah. He's going to complete the spine. Is that it?
No, the fucking spine.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. Jared, play some music and start talking.
And pee.
Yeah.
Under the scope.
You think Adam had it hard? I get to read people's broken English that they email us.
Here we go.
I got a couple comments this week. First one comes from Todd.
The Todd.
No, get to the good one.
Look at that. Don't worry.
I don't think we got a good one.
Wait, you're talking about chicks Todd's in front of them, man? When did the ERA pass on the internet? Various punctuation, colon, capital D. Besides, if you talk about things in front of women, they will just change their game plan, and then you will know even less. So much for empowerment, but then again, I'm the product of diminishing returns. Soon, I hope to know as much as the Teletubbies or the Republican chairman of the Senate Subcommittee on Iraq Affairs.
Wah, wah.
Yeah.
Honestly, at first, I thought this email was spam because I didn't understand what it was.
Blissful ignorance in comforting warmth of feety pajamas. That's what Todd says.
In full disclosure, Todd is an old friend of mine. He's got a lot to say. I love the guy, and he will come on the show sometime, and he will say stuff.
He hasn't laid off the LSD, though, apparently.
Will he drop it
he's
like
never
it's
been
hot?
On LSD. He's
will he drop it like it's hot?
High on life. He will. He might
Drop it like it's
hot. We might have an Earl Todd debate. I think that would be good.
What are we going to talk about?
Wow. Oh, I got plenty of stuff. Transformers a movie. Okay, please.
In a follow-up to a message we had last week where Carrie blasted Adam.
Blasted him because he deserves it.
He's a sour personality.
Sour.
I was the funniest this week.
Yes, you were. Carrie says, wow! Was Adam on something during the show? Adam, were you on something?
Yeah.
Yes.
Happy pills.
He wasn't boring and, dare I say, a bit adventurous. Good for you, Adam, with the travels out west for Thanksgiving and online dating.
It's funny how Carrie sounds like Jay Peterman. Oh, Adam.
Again, I have learned never to judge a book by its cover. Adam, you have off-the-wall ideas and knowledge. That is well indescribable, but anyone who loves Harry Potter so much to want a series, I have to adore them. You're still mean. I saw a bit of it in this show. Not much, but you're growing on me.
Like a mole.
Yeah. Still, won't say I'm entertained by you. Oh, hell, you don't care. Just read on.
He doesn't care. Adam, you did a great job writing that letter.
So there you go. Thank you.
I wrote it in my best girly voice.
Tomorrow's
and then
your birthday party.
Well, happy birthday a few days ago, Carrie.
So those are the messages this week.
Talk about other stuff.
Shane?
Well, if you are... What? Come on, Earl. We're trying to wrap up the show.
Up the show.
No, say your piece and then I'll
finish. How much did Michael Bay pay you?
$50 million.
I knew it.
And a week.
If you'd like to pay Shane, just email your monetary amount to comments@thescopeshow.com or visit the website at thescopeshow.com. Comment on the blog. Leave us dirty pictures. Whatever. We love it.
Not you, Earl. I've seen enough already.
This week's Scope Sound comes from the late, great The Nick Adams, and you can find their music at myspace.com.
Reunion tour coming soon?
The Nick Atoms, TheNickAtoms.
Buy it.
Back to you, Shane.
I want to thank our studio audience for participating in today's holiday spectacular. I'll go across the couch. John, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Holly, get your face up to that mic and say you're welcome.
You're
thank you.
Welcome.
And we've got Earl. We love you.
I love
Transformers
you, too. I love
world.
All of you.
The crowd hates
I
Earl.
I love how comfortable Earl looks.
Earl, we love watching your junk while we do the show.
Are those the pants that ripped?
They are.
I don't have the ripped pants.
Oh, well, maybe bulges in my face.
If you want more of my attention, you better get those suckers ripped.
Don't unwrap your package, Earl.
I want to wish everyone out there, all of our 6 listeners, a happy holidays.
What about the next show?
We're getting to the next show. I'm going to talk about it.
Good grief.
But I'm dying of curiosity.
The next show is going to be our 2006 year in review. Spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
We will tell you what was good. We will tell you what was bad.
Don't even bother thinking for yourself.
No,
this is
most
not
of
to
all,
be confused with our 5th show, which was a best of the Scope show.
I thought that was the 7th show, but whatever.
This is 20. This is number 20, though.
Will the Scope make the best of 2006 list, Shane?
Yes. I mean, that's obvious.
Adam. No.
John.
Yes.
Adam, you're off the show.
Holly.
Only episodes that I've been on.
Earl.
I'm not a betting man.
The answer is yes, it will make it. Shane.
I can't wait. So
I was doing my Shane impression. I love it.
It sounded like you.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was all about the mannerisms.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying. So everybody tune in. I mean, it's going to be New Year's. It's going to be exciting. I might be a little, was it libations? Would that be the correct word, Adam?
Will you all be drunk?
Shut up.
Maybe.
No, not
excellent.
I wasn't mocking you.
The question is, will John be drunk?
Will John be drunk?
I will always be drunk.
It doesn't matter if you're on the show or not.
Special guests for the in-studio to be determined, so...
Depending on how much you pay us.
Exactly. Yeah. So, everybody, that's the scope. This is show 20 or 19. Next time is 20. I don't know what it is. Is it 20 next time, Jared?
It is 20 next time.
Okay.
The big double X in Roman numerals.
So, Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Any other holiday to celebrate?
Kwanzaa.
Festivus.
Yep. Have a safe and exciting holiday season. This is the scope, episode 19. Signing off. Play some sound.
If you're going to be in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area and would like to participate in a taping of The Scope, send your request to tickets@thescopeshow.com. Please mention in what special way you can contribute to the show.